It feels to me that at the beginning of a day like this, it's always nice to reflect on what brings us here, what the purpose of the practice is, you know, the reason that we're doing these things, because sometimes these things can seem somewhat strange to, you know, sit for a period of time and walk for a period of time and sit for a period of time. In our culture too, sometimes it seems strange to spend time in silence. That might feel unfamiliar, it might feel something perhaps even threatening at times. Why would we do that? And so really just acknowledging that often what can bring us to practice is a feeling that perhaps there's some confusion, some difficulty, some dissatisfaction, some dis-ease with how things are. That as much as we might have a lot of the things that we feel should make us happy, there can be a subtle sense of things not quite being okay, of not quite being at home. And that subtle sense can lead us to explore spiritual practices, lead us to be interested in meditation. And for all of us, I would say, there must be a sense that perhaps meditation might help. I mean, for some of us, it might be a really deep and profound confidence that meditation really helps to address that kind of thing. And for others, it might be a sense of, this might be worth looking at. You know, so there may be kind of different motivations there. But really seeing that the practice is dedicated to living in a more wise way, to living in a more compassionate way, to living in a with kindness to ourselves and to others, and that's why we're here, really. And to feel that we practice, yes, for ourselves, but we also practice for each other. And on a day like this, we're really supporting each other in our practice. You know, by all of us being here, we're demonstrating our interest in or commitment to those kind of values of wisdom and kindness and compassion. But as Margaret was saying, some of you are new to meditation, and I really hope that there will be enough guidance for you in the day. And just to reassure you right at the beginning, if you are new, at the end of the first sitting practice, I'll be able to talk to anybody who wants some extra instruction a little bit more and to answer any questions you've got. So we'd really like you to feel as welcome and as comfortable and as okay as you can, yeah? if it's new to you. So the theme of the day is equanimity, finding balance in a world of change. And I think in a way there's what we might call a wise disillusionment that could lead to an interest in equanimity. I mean, being disillusioned is a rather interesting word, isn't it? Because someone says, I'm disillusioned, that sounds like a bad thing. But if you think about it literally, it means that, you know, one's illusions are lifted. But a kind of disillusionment with the idea that we're going to find some condition where we can have all the pleasure all the time and somehow totally eradicate pain. Or we can be praised all the time and have no blame. Where everything goes our way, where we can have all the ups of life without any of the downs. We can have the birth without the death. We can have the health without sickness and all those things. So equanimity comes with a kind of disillusionment with wanting to find some kind of perfect condition where somehow I'm going to get what I want all the time. So there's a sort of mature dissatisfaction with that. So recognizing that we live in a world where we sometimes don't get what we want, and we're sometimes separated from what we want. And so therefore seeing that those ups and downs of life are not a kind of accidental feature that just round the corner is going to disappear when we've somehow got everything together, but they're more fundamental than that. They're more woven into our existence. And so we begin to be interested in this quality of equanimity. How can we find balance within that world? How can we make peace with the fact that there will be these changes? How can we have a wise acceptance of not always getting what we want and coping with loss and disappointment without leading to a resigned depression? yeah, without leading to a resigned depression, but actually realizing that there's a freedom and a lightness, a real lightness that we can touch into as we give up on an impossible project. Yeah? So I often make this point. It's not leading to that kind of thing. You know, you can sometimes have a sort of misinterpretation of Buddhist teachings or Dharma teachings. Everything's impermanent. It's all gonna die in the end. So why bother? Kind of thing. As if there's a sort of grey dullness. But actually, what the teachings are pointing to are a real lightness, a real lightness that we didn't need it to be like that after all. And there's a relief. There's a real relief. So I just thought I'd begin also with a reading from Sharon Salzberg, who I know has been here. And I think she rather beautifully captures the spirit of equanimity. In 6 months, even in 1 day or 1 hour, we can experience so many extremes of pleasure and pain. The question is, how can a human heart, my heart or your heart, absorb the continual unremitting contrast of this life without feeling shattered and thinking we cannot bear it? Battered by changes, the heart-mind can become brittle, rigid. It can wither and shrink. The Buddha said our hearts can wilt as a flower does when it has been out in the sun too long. Have you ever encountered this feeling? How can we live with the vicissitudes? How can we hold them all with some sense of wholeness, coherence and harmony? Can we experience freedom in the midst of all these immense changes as they roll through our lives over and over again? Can we actually be happy in this continuous arising and passing away? So really, I think that's a question for us today. You know, it's a question that can inform our practice, that's very much woven into the sitting practice and the walking practice. Can we find a coherence, a harmony, a fullness of life in the midst of the changes of the pleasures and pains and the ups and downs? So for the practice we'll do today is really classical vipassana practice, classical insight meditation practice, and using the breath as a place to come back to again and again. And I shall guide us through the first meditation. So again, if you're not familiar with the practice, you'll be shown through it. But just to see right from the start that the very fundamental instructions of meditation, to be with the breath as the mind wanders off, as the mind gets caught in other things, recognizing that's happened and coming back. The very process of doing that is cultivating equanimity. It's cultivating equanimity. Because we may be drawn off by something pleasant, a pleasant sensation or memory or thought or some kind of desire that promises so much. And we just subtly say, not now, not now, and come back to this moment, come back to the breath. Or we may be lost in something more painful, whether it's a bodily sensation or a difficult memory or a fear of the future. And again, we say, not now, when we're coming back. Yeah? So this very basic practice of coming back to the breathing is really a practice of equanimity. And the breath, you know, while we are alive, the breath is here all the time. So we're beginning to get that feeling of a home. You know, somewhere we can come back to. Somewhere we can come back to. Whatever else is going on, whatever emotional storms are raging, we can come home to the breathing, feeling the breath coming in, feeling the breath coming out. Good. Okay, so we'll begin our first sitting practice. So finding a posture which is as relaxed and as alert as you can be.